This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Talks between the U.S. and Iran set to take place in the coming days. President Trump at the White House acknowledged Israel could take military action against Iranian targets, but did not say it was imminent. The president calling for U.S. personnel to leave the region. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
President Trump said the decision was made to move out American personnel from parts of the Middle East amid escalating tensions with Israel and Iran.
There's a chance of massive conflict. We have a lot of American people in this area, and I said, we got to tell them to get out because something could happen soon.
Non-essential staff have been ordered to leave the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, and the Pentagon has authorized the voluntary departure of military dependents from locations across the Middle East.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem defending the president's decision to send the National Guard and Marines to Los Angeles after a week of protests over immigration raids. Noem says many officers have been assaulted in the final days of those protests. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. You are invited to a celebration of service honoring Chief Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's 3 decades on the Wisconsin Supreme Court just weeks before her retirement. The program will be held at 4:30 Thursday afternoon at the Capitol Rotunda. Originally from Richland Center, the 71-year-old graduated from Richland Center High School in 1968. She earned her bachelor's degree from Webster University in 1972 and worked as a high school teacher before graduating from the University of Wisconsin Law School in 1976. She worked as an attorney for 9 years before embarking on her judicial career. In 1985, she was appointed as a circuit court judge in Marathon County. 10 years later, the justice made history by becoming the first woman to be elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court rather than appointed. She won re-election twice, first in 2005 and then in 2015. She was elevated to Chief Justice in May. Her seat on the court is being filled by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford, who was elected in April. Ann Walsh Bradley's tenure is the fifth longest in the court's 177-year history. It has included participation in more than 28,000 cases, 2,375 oral arguments, and the authorship of nearly 600 written opinions. A celebration of service will be held Thursday afternoon at 4:30 at the Capitol Rotunda, with the reception to follow. Members of the public interested in attending can RSVP online at justicewalshbradley.rsvpify.com, where you can also leave thank you and congratulatory notes. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a 4-game series at home tonight against the Cardinals. On the mound from Milwaukee, making his major league debut, is Jacob Mizorowski. 6'7", a fastball that's been clocked at 103 miles per hour, was drafted by the Brewers 3 years ago. Meanwhile, veteran pitcher Aaron Savalier has now reportedly been asked to be traded after the Brewers reassigned him to the bullpen this week. NBA Finals, the Pacers beat the Thunder 116-107 to take a 2-game to 1 lead. Tyrese Halliburton says Brad Weber, his coach from Oshkosh North High, was at the game.
It's important for me at a time like this to talk to people whose opinions I respect. Coach Weber is one of those, you know, being my high school coach. Coach Prohm is in the back there, my college coach. You know, I've had many conversations with those guys. You know, these games can get crazy, and, you know, I think what I've learned from those guys as my coaches and Coach Carlisle, that people follow the leader.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures still making it to the upper 70s. We've got a breezy east wind and a chance of showers and maybe a thunderstorm later this afternoon. A few more of them could pop up tomorrow midday and may linger early Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 74.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome beauty queen and security expert Jenna Watkins, and then we grill pizza in the studio with Papa John's owner Danny Bim. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
On location, it's the Todd Alba Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Yeah, freedom.
Live across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is Thursday, June 12th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. We are coming to you live from downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin, on location to the studios of WGBW here in beautiful Green Bay. Glad to be with you. If you're looking for us on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, Twix, any place else we stream, you're not going to find us. Because guess what? The internet's down. Going to get to that here in just a minute. Ask you some questions about that, your own life and the internet. And so it's been kind of a crazy day. Was going to have the show in Shawano, and then I hopped in the truck, got over here, and God love Todd Michaels, our great general manager here at Green Bay in Oshkosh. He drove up from Oshkosh, helped get us on the air. Appreciate that from Green Bay, and also all the folks down in Madison helping out as well, notably Zommers and Luke Mathers helping to fill in at the top of the show. Zommers, how are you doing down there?
You know, we're holding it together. There have been better days. Thank you, Google servers, for always working perfectly, except when you don't.
Yeah, exactly. One of those days. But many thanks to all of us. It's a little cloudy here in Green Bay right now. But it's been a beautiful day so far. Many thanks to Shirley Hines for being on, the secretary of the Shawano Menominee County Democratic Party. Very interesting to hear from her. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, David Zurich, a photographic author, has a brand new book coming out called The Third Coast. And it features the Great Lakes shorelines. Our Great Lakes here, of course, Green Bay on the bay technically. But if you go the other side of the Door County Peninsula, right? You're right there on Lake Michigan. Zommers, you're from Great Lakes shoreline in
Manitowoc. Yep.
Manitowoc.
Right on Lake Michigan.
I'm sorry. It's one of those days. Yes, you spent time on Lake Michigan, so
absolutely.
Looking forward to that.
Manitowoc has a lighthouse that is really nice to go just take a walk near that. And there's also a dog park right by it too.
Wow. Look at that. That's fantastic. Well, going to be a great hour. Hopefully you stay with us here as we cover some breaking news at this hour. U.S. Senator Alex Padilla of California said he had been attempting to ask a question when he was forcibly removed from a press conference held by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in Los Angeles this afternoon. He said, I was there peacefully. This is a quote. At one point, I had a question, so I began to ask a question, unquote. but he has said it. The first public remarks following the incident, quote, "I was almost immediately forcibly removed from the room. I was forced to the ground and was handcuffed. I was not arrested. I was not detained," unquote. He goes on, though, and continues. He says, quote, "If this is how the administration responds to a senator with a question, if this is how the Department of Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, to cooks, to day laborers out in the Los Angeles community and throughout California and throughout the country," unquote. Zomers, I think you have this cut. This is from, I believe, put out by the senator's staff. The video is more disturbing, I think, than the audio, because it appears to start right after Senator Padilla tried to ask a question of the secretary who was holding this press conference. So I don't know what transpired before this. All I know, we're going to play a little bit of this from the start. What we have, go ahead, Zomers.
Thank you. And Bell, sir, sir, hands up, hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your, hands up.
At this point, he's being taken out into the hall away from the secretary, Noam, and appears to be forced down to the ground against his will, although he kind of goes down into the ground.
On your back.
If you let me see my hands, go ahead, turn behind my back.
All right, cool. Good hand. Lay flat. Other hand, sir. Other hand.
They're currently handcuffing.
Yeah, behind the back. And that's pretty much the end of the video at that point. So, again, tough. The actual video tells you more of the story than the audio. Look, disturbing, obviously, to say a sitting United States senator in his own state. For me, it just goes back to the lack of decorum all the way around. Having worked for a United States congressman, having worked for Wisconsin state senator, number one, if a senator, particularly a senator from that district or state, had attended a press conference by either a state or a federal secretary, in years past, the secretary would have allowed the representative of that area to ask a question. Just common courtesy. In the same fashion, normally a sitting senator or representative would not, quote unquote, crash a press conference like that. But I get Senator Padilla's point that my guess is, only Todd's guess, that he's probably tried to get answers out of Secretary Noam's office and they're not responding. So as they say, desperate times call for desperate measures in that, okay, fine. If you don't want to talk to me or answer my emails or take my phone calls, I'll just show up at your press conference and ask it that way. Now, the guy, well, I shouldn't say, it appears in the video that Secretary Padilla is unarmed. He wasn't going after the secretary, wasn't threatening her. He was simply trying to ask a question. And I find it beyond disturbing that a sitting United States senator in his own state, not only not allowed to ask a question of a secretary, but then is forcibly removed from the press conference and handcuffed. I'm not sure, Zomers, again, with all the craziness today here, I'm going to try to send this to you right now. Here's radio producing in real time, everybody. This is the way it works. We're on unprecedented time. I sent you a cut. This is Trump from earlier today. It was on Fox News. Steve Ducey at Fox News asked Trump a question earlier today in regards to immigration. And the fact that early this morning, I believe it was, I think I got it on my phone here, Donald Trump tweeted this out at, late last night, 11:21, after he got home from Les Mis, by the way. He and Vice President J.D. Vance went to Les Mis together. And J.D. Vance tweeted out on his own that he asked his wife, "Oh, is this the one about the barber?" Like, sweetie, knows what Sweeney Todd is, but he's pretending he didn't know what Les Mis was about. It's a whole other bottle of wine. Anyway, this is after they went to Les Mis together last night at the Kennedy Center. Donald Trump said, quote, our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good longtime workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. And then he goes on with rhetoric that's just not true about bad people. And then he says, this is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming, unquote. In other words, what's happened, we talked about this yesterday, is that Trump's going after his administration, namely Stephen Miller. I'll use the word hunting down people in agricultural fields, predominantly in California, and arresting them, detaining and deporting them, and doing the same thing in the hotel industry. Well, clearly, big contributors to Trump have called him and said, this can't, produce is going to rot in the fields. You're not going to have anybody to work at Mar-a-Lago or the Ritz-Carlton. So Trump on those two areas are saying, yeah, guys, we got to pull back. But what about the grade school kids in Los Angeles? What about the meat packers? What about all the other people in the United States who are also doing really great work and trying hard and trying to do it the quote-unquote right way, and they're getting not just detained, but arrested and deported. Anyway, here's the audio that, here's what, this is the Trump audio, right, Zomers? This yes. is from Fox News this morning. Here's the Steve Ducey question, the Trump response.
First, on immigration, what made you change your mind about targeting in California farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business?
Well, we're not targeting. In fact, if you look today, I put out a statement today about farmers. Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they've turned out to be, you know, great. And we're going to have to do something about that. We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have, maybe not. And you know what's going to happen and what is happening? They get rid of some of the people because, you know, you go into a farm and you look and people don't, they've been there for 20, 25 years and they've worked great and the owner of the farm loves them and everything else. And then you're supposed to throw them out. And you know what happens? They end up hiring the people, the criminals that have come in, the murderers from prisons and everything else. So we're going to have an order on that pretty soon, I think. We can't do that to our farmers and leisure too, hotels. We're going to have to use a lot of common sense on that.
Donald Trump this morning. You want to know what else? There's a lot of great people working in Wisconsin who have been here for 25 years and paying taxes, by the way. Many of whom have been here legally, as Mark Imperdisak points out, through temporary protected status, dreamer status. Many of whom have kids that go to school with your kids. They've probably been to your house, play dates, playing in the backyard, football teams, soccer teams together, and you have no idea that those kids don't have full citizenship because they act and they cry and they laugh just like your kid. But Donald Trump wants to round them up and send them back to a country they don't remember because they haven't been there since they were 3, 4, 5 years old. That's not what people voted for. Even the people that voted for Trump, you know better. So call up people like Derek Van Orden. Call up people like Tony Weed and say enough of this horse crap. This is not what we voted for. This is not America. We're better than this. And this weekend, yes, if you're so moved, go out, demonstrate, protest peacefully. Don't bring something upon yourself. Exercise your First Amendment right. But if organizers or the police tell you to move, do it. Don't give Trump and his thugs a reason to move forward. And when I say thugs, I'm not throwing all law enforcement or military, anybody else. Everybody who listens to this show knows I'm a huge backer of the military and our men and women in uniform. But yes, like anything else, there's always a bad apple in the batch. We'll come back and lighten it up. What's Worse is next, a cleaning edition. You're listening to the Tyler Ball Show live from Green Bay across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
See, you're speechless too. I mean, I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media Radio Network. It is 22 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Thursday, June 12th. Glad to have you along. We are live at the beautiful studios of WGBW in downtown Green Bay. Many thanks to Todd Michaels and the entire crew. This is where they do Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, which comes on every night from 6 until 8. And Zomers, I didn't know this. I haven't been up here in a while. And now Pete Schwabe has installed a foot massager, like a bath with sea salts and a massager right below the desk. And let me tell you, it is relaxing as all get out. I'm loving it. Pete Schwabe foot massager. I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
All right. See if he sells those.
It's 23 past 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. All that.
The choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across the state of Wisconsin. You're going to be in good hands with our advertising team. If you want to have your voice heard in terms of advertising, check us out at civicmedia.us across all 11 news, talk, sports, states, stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of those days, folks. All right. This is timely. This time of year, people are outside. They're tracking stuff in, and you want to get things clean. Now, do you use a quote-unquote natural cleaner or something else? Today's category, what's worse, natural cleaners or bleach-based cleaners? Natural cleaners or beach-based cleaners. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, natural cleaners or bleach-based cleaners? give us a call or text on the Civic Media app. It is working in certain markets where the internet is broken today. That's real. I'm not making that up.
Yeah, it's certain Google servers,
which only goes to prove, Zommers, that I've been right all along. All this digital stuff and computers and, it'll be fine. Bull crap. Give me a old-fashioned transmitter with a warm bulb and a tower and with a generator, and you can broadcast anywhere.
It is a lot easier to diagnose problems.
When things are all mixed up in computers and servers and we don't know this, but we can't rule out some sort of a cyber attack from another country. This is why things should not be completely reliant on the internet or computer crap. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. What's worse, natural cleaners or bleach-based cleaners? 855-752-4842. Dan from Wittenhouse. Oh, very nice. Wittenhouse is texting in from WAUK. Says natural cleaners are worse. They just don't clean well enough. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Janesville, Wisconsin, the city of parks. Chris in Janesville. Chris, natural cleaners or bleach-based cleaners? What's worse?
Oh, my goodness. Bleach. I almost said beach.
Bleach-based I did that earlier. Yeah.
I know. I was going to call you and tease you for that, but the bleach-based cleaners are worse. And without mentioning anything else for where I work, the organic cleaners, there are tons of those out there that do a much better job than anything that has bleach in it.
Really? Can you, yes. are you able to give us like one example of something?
Well, I can, but I'm not sure I'm supposed to say where I work. Well, I'm not.
Well, I mean, it's fine with me if it's okay on your end. I don't care.
Yeah, I work for Ashley Furniture, and we have all the cleaners that we provide are 100% organic, and I use it on my furniture.
Yes, now, this is great news. This is news we can use. Ashley, a Wisconsin-based company in Arcadia, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
All right. So you work in Janesville. That's fine. It's all over. So give us an example of is this like lemon water and vinegar or something? Or like what's a natural-based cleaner for furniture?
See, now you're going to have to make me do the research, but I just know that we do leather conditioner, glass cleaner, and it's all organic based.
Mm-hmm. So. Interesting. That's very interesting. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in, Chris. Thanks for listening down there in beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin. Thank you so much. There you go, everybody. Look at that. Chris in Janesville giving us some news we can use. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cam, listening in Appleton, says, I'm more of a beach and ammonia kind of guy.
Don't do that. Mixing bleach and ammonia can potentially kill you. I'm not joking.
I'm not saying that together. Maybe he just used them separately.
I think he was just making the joke, and I just wanted to have a PSA out there to everybody. Don't mix those. You'll gas yourself out.
Andrew in maybe I'll use that after the show. Andrew on WMDX says, quote, the natural ones that are not actually natural are worse. I do prefer the good natural ones. I think there's something there. All right. Tom in L.A., Tom out in Los Angeles, are they fixing YouTube? I guess they're on it, L.A. They're working on it. They're trying to get it fixed. WMDX listeners has beach-based cleaners, bleach-based cleaners.
No, they said beach intentionally.
Oh, is someone like SpongeBob-based cleaners? I don't know what
they're saying.
Means.
Yeah, if it's a beach-based cleaner instead of a bleach-based cleaner, that's like SpongeBob. Right. You know, he's on a beach and he's a
Zommers,
sponge.
What's your pick?
I think I got to say that the bleach-based ones are worse, not because they're less effective, but because they're more dangerous. If I had to choose one to have around the house, I'd probably choose a natural one. If there are children.
I'm sorry, you're totally wrong. No, get me, I'm with Cam. Get me some bleach. Get me the strongest stuff out there. I'm not going to horse around.
It does
it's
work
like a
better.
Doctor. It's like a doctor who prescribes a lesser antibiotic. We'll try this for 2 weeks and come back. No, just give me the Z-Pack and get it over with. I mean, that's do the beat bleach. Come on back. We'll talk photography and the Great Lakes shorelines after this. We're live in Green Bay at WGBW on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
While strong domestic demand continues to support higher prices, U.S. butter is also gaining attention on the global stage. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and traditionally made at 80% butterfat, U.S. manufacturers are shifting gears and now producing 82% butterfat specialty batches to help meet export demands and take advantage of a pricing edge. Katie Burgess, Dairy Risk Manager with EverAg, explains how this small change could have a big impact.
It does mean you can't just grab it out of the warehouse and sell it. You do need to do some planning ahead in order to win those international sales. So it's not something we see happen a lot because it is a specialty product from a U.S. producer perspective. But this year, given all the fat that's around, the manufacturers here in the U.S. have embraced that because it's probably too much butter for us to eat on our own. So looking for the international market and the international buyers is key.
Once again, that's Katie Burgess, Dairy Risk Manager with EverAg. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com. Or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com. Get shopping.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 438.5, up 1.5 cents. New crop corn closed at 440.5, up 3/4. Cash beans closed at 1042.25. That was down 8.25 cents. And new crop beans closed at 1027.25, down 2 cents. And July wheat closed at 526.5, down 7.75. On the dairy side of things, July Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1823 a hundredweight. That is down 2 cents. And August Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1880, and that is also down 2 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at 184. Down 2 cents, and the AA butter closed up 1.5 cents and closed today at 254.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures still making it to the upper 70s. We've got a breezy east wind and a chance of showers and maybe a thunderstorm later this afternoon. A few more of them could pop up tomorrow midday and may linger early Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, 78 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, the Wisconsin Policy Forum drops a bombshell report on the impacts of the big, brutal bill in Wisconsin. I'm joined by their communications director, and we break it down.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are coming to you live from WGBW Studios in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. Many thanks to the great staff here, including Todd Michaels, our general manager, who was kind enough to get in and help us get on the air, and everybody else down in Madison behind the scenes on kind of this crazy day. Again, if you're wondering why your WhatsApp or your Snapchat or your Googling isn't always working in some places. We understand it's not everywhere, but some places, a nationwide outage right now, or partial outage. So that is why we kind of had to do things on the fly, and we appreciate everybody helping us out and making that happen. 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, somebody who is on the fly and making it happen as well is our next guest, who was going to originally join us via StreamYard. So we can talk about some of the seeing some of these great photographs, but we're not on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter in terms of video because of the aforementioned technical difficulties. But by golly, he made it work. He's calling in via phone, David Zurich, a photographic author of a brand new book coming out called The Third Coast. It is great shots of the Great Lakes shoreline. And David joins us via phone. David, thanks so much for being flexible and making this work today.
My pleasure. Yep. Thanks for inviting me on your program.
It's our pleasure, and I'm really excited and can't wait to see this. Is the book out yet, or is it forthcoming?
It's forthcoming. The publication date that they've got on is July 15th. My understanding is it may be in the warehouses now, but by the time it gets to the bookstores, et cetera, it'll be a couple of weeks yet. Mm. So fairly soon. Coming in.
Well, that's great. I cannot wait to see it as a fan of Wisconsin and our Great Lakes. Before we get into the actual work and the book, David, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and your background, please.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Port Huron, Michigan, so over on Lake Huron, the shore of Lake Huron, where it dumps into the St. Clair River. And I went to Michigan State University. After getting my undergraduate degree, I went on to the University of Hawaii. Finished my PhD, became an educator, a geographer, and landed in Kentucky, where I'm calling from right now, for a university position here. But, you know, the Great Lakes have always been a part of me, so, you know, I'm looking over the next ridge always for that big body of water and never quite see it. So, you know, in a nutshell, my education was in geography. And my background in terms of where I was born and raised is in Michigan, but my life has taken me, around the world for various reasons.
I find it fascinating. And one of my favorite college professors, Garrett Deckert, was a geographer and geographer and geology actually. But, is photography something that you did just as a hobby at first, or did you actually have any formal training in that?
Well, I haven't had any formal training in it. You know, I picked up a camera and used photography kind of to document, I guess, my science in terms of articles and the kind of field research I was doing. I've worked a lot in Asia, mainly the Himalaya region, northern India, Nepal, Bhutan, Tibet, those kinds of places. So I'd used camera work in support of my geography, and at a certain point, I would say maybe 20 years ago, things started to flip. I became less interested in kind of academic writing and academic kind of inquiry, and I was doing more and more photography, and I realized really what I was interested in was having an image be kind of a visual language for me, and that set me off on the path of photography.
And you know, originally from Port Huron, Michigan, obviously, or you're familiar with the Great Lakes a lot. And is it something that you spent time as a kid kind of walking the shoreline? Is that, at least for me, I'm a big water person. So when I go to El Salvador, the, you know, the Pacific Ocean is enormously relaxing, or here in Wisconsin, even, you know, at the university campus here, sitting down by Lake Mendota is fantastic, or kayaking. Are you a water person as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and growing up on the lake, it's where I learned to swim. I learned to skate. You know, I learned to boat. I learned to ski, all that kind of stuff. And one of my most vivid memories actually as a kid, and it's one that I still enjoy a lot, we could hear the foghorns from the Great Lakes freighters. And at night in the mist, and you hear that foghorn going. Mm-hmm. And you can just imagine where this ship is taking off, right? So. Yeah, the water was always a part of my life early on, and then when I left Michigan, I moved to Hawaii for graduate study in the Pacific Ocean. You know, a bigger body of water, but we're still talking water here. So. Yeah.
I can't imagine. That's one of the places on my bucket list I want to get to. Had to be absolutely incredible. What? By the way, we're talking to David Zurich, a photographic author of a brand new forthcoming book called The Third Coast, a story of the Great Lakes shorelines. What inspired you, David, to first do this book? Was it just taking a bunch of photographs? Like, wait a minute, I might have something for a book here. Or did you set out intentionally to do a photographic book?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, at the time I started this book, I was involved in a project in India, a photographic project, and COVID hit, made international travel challenging or impossible. So I'm sitting in Kentucky kind of spinning my wheels. And the months go by wondering, well, how long is this going to last? And then I thought, well, let me try to think of a project a little bit closer to home. And my compass, pointed north. So I went up to Michigan, went to actually Port Huron, where my brother lives. And then I started following the Lake Huron shoreline just to check it out to see if there maybe was a project there. Because generally my photography involves not just a single image. It involves like series of images that eventually begin to tell a story. So I wanted to see if there was some kind of story that was going to grab me there. And growing up on Lake Huron, there was a lot of past, a lot of memory, a lot of emotional stuff, just in terms of remembering my own childhood there. So that was beautiful. That was a really nice experience. But it also kind of, I guess, initiated what became then, and over several years, a lot of back and forth, heading up to a different lake at a different season, eventually compiling them into what has become this book, The Third Coast.
I think this is just an amazing story. I cannot, again, wait to see this book. But what you said earlier, I don't know why I think of things like this, but you just wonder, don't you, sometimes, at least I do, how many of our lives, how many projects like this might have never happened had it not been for the pandemic and COVID? I mean, that just changed people, the direction of people's lives. Some, sadly and tragically, aren't here anymore. But your example there, you were planning on doing something in India, and because of COVID, you end up doing this story about the Great Lakes.
Yeah, it was amazing, you know. And I live kind of in the woods here in Kentucky, and for us, the pandemic was a lot easier to handle than people living in cities. And we've got a lot of open space and a lot of room. And this was when, you know, the whole kind of sequestering of ourselves in these spaces was happening. But then I realized going in after a few months that, you know, I could get in my truck, throw my kayak and my bike in the back, and head up to one of the Great Lakes and pretty much mind my own business. And at that time, wanting to stay away from other people, it was totally fine, you know. And I started in Lake Huron in November along the Thumb area. The campgrounds were open, but there wasn't anybody in them. So I could go in, camp, and I'd be the only one in there. So it felt really comfortable under those circumstances. Yeah, so it was good.
What a great way to kind of make life feel, quote, unquote, normal in unprecedented times, at least here in the United States. And this is a nerdy question, but I happen to know there are some photographers that actually listen to this show. What equipment did you use? What did you shoot most of the photographs with?
Sure. So, I started out with a 35mm film camera. We're going back into this, I guess the late 70s, early 80s mm-hmm. here. And then I moved up to a medium format camera, And I kept on wanting a bigger negative. I moved up to a large format 4x5 sheet film camera, which I used for a couple of decades, really. Several of my books, I've got a number of photography books published, but several of them were made with that large format camera using black and white film. I would, you know, process the film, develop the negatives, make the prints. So I had total control over the process, and I was working with a big negative. At a certain point, and I was working on a project in the Himalaya. I think this was like 2013, 2014. I was finishing that, and I was on a last, photography expedition up to Tibet, and I was lugging all this gear, you know, big heavy tripod, big camera, lots of film and boxes and stuff, and I was having to go through all of these immigration and customs points where they're using, X-rays, and I'd have to explain to someone that they couldn't open the box and they couldn't X-ray the box, you know, which you could imagine led to all kinds of hassles. And then I'm up at like 17,000 feet with the wind's blowing, I'm out of breath, and I'm working with this big camera, and I kind of realize, this may be the last project. So when I finished that project out, I researched the cameras. I switched out of film into digital, away from black and white into color, and let go of my big camera and picked up a tiny little, it's a Sony camera, it's a little Maserati camera, beautiful little thing, and I've been using that ever since. Yeah.
I find it fascinating, and I would encourage people to visit your website, davidzurich.com, because there's just some apps. I mean, your work in the Himalayas, amongst others, but it's just some amazing, amazing work. There's one that highlights Hawaii here as well, but it's David Zurich, Zurich.com, and just some amazing work. You have time. We have a caller who wants to ask you a question. Are you willing to take a caller question? All right. Let's go to Jim in Brookfield. Jim listening on WAUK down in Waukesha. Jim, thanks for calling in. What question do you have for David?
Thank you. Welcome, David. I was just wondering, you mentioned you had the old 35 millimeter back in the day. What have you done with those, and how did you upgrade them to digital and scanning or whatnot? And then also, do you have a favorite time of day, you know, to shoot, you know, sunrise, sunset, overcast? So I guess two questions. What did you do with your old 35 millimeter and favorite time of day?
Yeah, well, the cameras are in a box in my closet. And the film is also in a box in my closet. The ones that I was using for various reasons, I was scanning those. They were little 35 millimeter transparencies, you know, Kodachrome stuff. Mm-hmm. And that film I've still got, or at least the shots that seem to be worthwhile. So I've kept that stuff. I'm not sure that anything will be done with it. I go through it periodically, think I'm going to cull the herd, and it's hard to throw away some of that stuff, but I do my best at it. So, you know, as I moved through, I kind of leave behind this technology. I've still got it's archived, but rarely do I go back and dip into it, I have to say. I'm kind of just moving on with things that way. And I don't know if I answered that, but your second question had to do with the time of the day. You know, there is that sweet time in the morning and the evening when the light's got a nice slant to it and everything. But what I'm really looking for is a quality of light that can happen at any time of the day. For example, if the clouds just happen to part and allows just part of that sun through, and you kind of suffuse it with this yellow light, I like that light. I can kind of, you know, I was almost exclusively trying to do the early morning and late afternoon, early evening stuff, but I'm finding now, apart from the stark midday, you know, blaring sun, I can pretty much go with anything these days. So, you know.
That's incredible. Do you have time to stick around for one more quick segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, that sounds great. I want to come back and talk more with David Zurich here in just a moment, a photographic author. And I would think we should call you a Renaissance man. I mean, you do it all, David. So thanks for spending time. We'll come back, do a little bit more with David here. He is the author of a brand new forthcoming book called The Third Coast, Great Lakes Shoreline. Come on back. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for a Thursday. We're live from Green Bay on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across the state of Wisconsin you're listening to. Weather update, sports report with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, and then Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 4 until 6. And then originating right where I'm at in Green Bay, Wisconsin, our very own Pete Schwalbe in Nightlight coming to you from WGBW here in Green Bay across the state of Wisconsin. And then after that, it will be Native Roots Radio with our friend Robert Pilot and Rick Smith across America. Right now, we're being joined via the telephone by David Zurich, a photographic author, about his forthcoming new book called The Third Coast, featuring the Great Lakes shorelines all around the Great Lakes of America. And David, I appreciate you working with us here, having to only do phones today because of all the technical difficulties. You brought up earlier in the conversation that you had visited the Great Lakes at different times of the season. And I want to focus in on Lake Superior for a minute, obviously for many of our listeners who might have been there. But one of my favorite places in Wisconsin is at the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribal in Red Cliff, Wisconsin. And it's right across, it's on the mainland, right across the water there is the Apostle Islands. I've been there in the dead of winter, I've been there in the summer, and I've been there early fall, And I think part of the magic, and I want to ask if you found this to be true, about the Great Lakes is you can get a completely different vibe depending upon when you visit the same spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And you picked a perfect spot to talk about this because I went up there, the same area you're talking about in the winter. You know, when I was thinking about this book and thinking about the different lakes and different seasons, because at a certain point, I realized I really wanted to try to catch that personality, that seasonal personality, and tie it into Lake Shores and Lake Superior. The winter, that just resonated with me totally. And I actually went up to northern Wisconsin to the Apostle Islands, Chequabegan Bay, that area, in January. So, yeah, I totally hear you about being up there different times of the year. The winter grabbed me photographically. I was walking out on that bay on the ice. All the ice shanties are out there.
Wow.
The trucks, you know, I'd walk up to some ice shanty, knock on the door, you know, and talk to the guys in there and what's up and explain what I was doing. They'd steer me to another interesting place. One guy told me, hey, you got to go over here. And I went over there and had these ice races going on, you know, with these beefed up vehicles with spikes on the wheels and racing around the ice. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. So that was a blast. I totally enjoyed that whole thing. And really, the Lake Superior in the winter across northern Michigan was a great thing. Yep.
I could talk to you another hour. Would love to have you come back for another segment some other time. But you remind me so much of a guy I know, Joseph Jackson III, who was a videographer, a photographer for the Wisconsin State Journal for years and years and years. And he would tell me much the same as you did. He said, "Todd, I go on an assignment, but it was the people that I was photographing and listening to them. That's what was so intriguing, and helping tell their story through photographs."
Always. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I love a pretty scene, but I really take scenic pictures, not in the way of kind of calendars and greeting cards and stuff. I try to, you know, when I try to photograph, I try to make them beautiful, but beyond the beauty, that there's some kind of something going on there, some kind of message, something that somebody's going to ask a question of themselves about, you know. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, when I shifted out of the academic world into the art world, I guess you could say, it was really because I wasn't interested so much in trying to explain things as just trying to evoke them and let the viewer, the reader, the audience, whoever it may be, come to their own conclusions about things, you know, and not tell people what to think, but just lay things out there that they can think what they want to about them. And photographs are a great way to do that, you know.
One of the absolute best ways to do that, and I think you're 100% right, that great photography truly does make us look internally and think about ourselves, how we view the world that is around us and what's being reflected in that photograph. I can't thank you enough for coming on today, David. Where can people find the new book called The Third Coast?
Sure. Well, it's the publisher is Northwest University Press. They're down on Lake Michigan, so they've got the region kind of wired as far as their distribution and marketing. And I would imagine, really, any of your favorite booksellers, either brick-and-mortar bookstores or online, is either going to carry it or they can easily order it, in certainly in the Great Lakes region. So if someone's interested, they may not be able to come across it, but they can get their hands on it no problem by putting in an order. I don't really much beyond that. I don't really know, but that sure. I do know.
But I'm assuming it'll eventually be on your website as well, davidzurich.com.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yep. No, I was going to say the spelling of the last name for listeners is Z as in zebra, U-R-I-C-K, davidzurich.com. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I want to say is I'm kind of a little bit new to the social media stuff. I did an Instagram. I've got an Instagram account where I'm putting all my new stuff on, frankly. The website is a little bit more management than I want to do. So that's just David Zurich, just my name, just strung along there. So
you're like the cool kids now. As they say, you're on Insta, David. How about that? David.
yeah. I hate to think of the Instagram world out there because I really, you know, but anyways, you got to take the times to a certain extent. So.
Absolutely. The conversation has been the highlight of the week for me. I really, really appreciate it. Can't wait to see the book. And congratulations on this new book and best of luck in all your travels. We'd love to have you back on soon.
Well, thanks so much, Todd. It's been my pleasure. Totally.
Thank, My pleasure as well. Thank you so much. David Zurich, everybody. The new book forthcoming called The Third Coast. And really look forward to that. Also, thank you to Shirley Hines, the Shawnee Menominee County Democratic Party Secretary. And, of course, our friends back in Madison, Mr. Zomer, is doing a great job. Our engineering crew. And a special thanks to the general manager here at WGBW, Todd Michaels, for making it all happen today. We're going to be right back in this studio. Only tomorrow we're going to plan on being here and have some of the great crew, Mino and the mayor, the great morning show team up here as well, and maybe we'll get Schwabba on. Can't wait for that. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Maggie Dawn is next.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and hospital officials say they're treating one survivor from today's plane crash in northwestern India. More than 240 on board the 787 jet when it went down shortly after takeoff, and it was bound for London. Here's ABC's Maggie Rooley.
More and more eyewitnesses are coming forward describing this scene as just chaos of thick smoke in the air, essentially what's a fireball rising into the sky. Because we have to remember, this flight was taking off for London, a nine-hour journey, so it was full of fuel. Now all that fuel was really fueling this fireball on the scene. Rescue workers have been brought in immediately. Local police saying all rescue workers were given to this effort.
A Homeland Security briefing in Los Angeles today turning heated when Democratic Senator Alex Padilla of California was forcibly removed after shouting questions at DHS Secretary Kristi Noem about immigration raids. Padilla says he was handcuffed but not arrested. And severe storms in San Antonio blamed for four deaths. This is ABC News.